So, my dad, who is here today, he's an all-around handy man. He has a shop at home filled with tools to get all sorts of things done. Saws and hammers, screwdrivers, star drivers, lug wrenches, a lathe, a bandsaw, and he also has an arc welder. And I used to spend time in the shop with my dad when I was little, so I got my own little hammer and little kid-sized gloves. And the most awesome thing was a small welding mask that fit my little pea head. And I told someone once this story, and they said, well, what did you weld? And as I remember, it was a bunch of really bad crafts, but, you know, that I would give family members. And then my friend asked me, well, if your dad wasn't really teaching you how to weld as a, you know, a vocation, then why did he do all that for you and your brother? And my first thought was that he just wanted to spend time with us, which he did. But upon deeper reflection, I think that he did all that for us so that we could feel like we could accomplish something that seemed so out of reach for us. We could use machines with sparks and flames, and we could hammer sharp spikes into wood, and we could use a saw that could cut your fingers off, but didn't cut our fingers off. Instead of, no, you can't do that because it's dangerous, he said, okay, here, but be careful. And I was thrilled when I was given my own machete. It was like child labor, though. It was to clear, like, these overgrown lots at our lake house down in Mississippi. My own machete. And although my mother was flabbergasted, my brother and I were over the moon. And our instructions were, spread out, don't swing it next to your brother, and, you know, other than that, you could kill and chop all the vines that you could. Oh, and watch out for snakes. It was a different time when we hadn't even heard of school shootings back then, and the VCR was in its infancy, and the only video game was Pong. You remember Pong? And we could ride our bikes till the sun went down and be called back home by the ring of a bell, not a cell phone. And maybe today he wouldn't buy us our very own large, sharp knives. But we learned that what it was like to be trusted. And we learned what it was like to take a chance. We learned what it was like to be able to dream. And we're still like that today, ready for a big world with a big heart to love it. And if he had to do it all over again, I bet my dad would still give us some opportunities to accomplish something that seemed so much bigger than we were. Our gospel today is the parable of the mustard seed, as we know. And it's a godly play story and a catechesis of the Good Shepherd story for kids. I was trained in the latter, and we would sing a little song about each of the parables to try to explain what the kingdom of God was, which is what these parables, their purpose is. And the song for the mustard seed parable says, "The kingdom of God, what is it like? It's like a seed. And that seed of the kingdom, what is it like? It's the smallest seed that exists, but it becomes a magnificent tree. The kingdom is in the smallest. The kingdom is inside of you." Now, this interpretation is wonderful and sweet until you go to seminary and you read all about the biblical scholars that pick every word of the Bible apart for centuries. It doesn't take a Bible scholar to know that the mustard seed is not the smallest seed. There are smaller seeds, actually. And the mustard plant doesn't go into a tree like the parable in Luke says that it does. The Gospel of Mark today is right to call it a shrub because that's more what it's like. But still, a little seed grows into a shrub. And this parable, like other parables, gets tossed around and interpreted in many, many ways. But this passage today gives us two seed references, one of wheat and then one of the mustard seed. Both describe the kingdom of God. The first one, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. And this story seems to suggest that whatever human things we think we do to make seeds grow, it doesn't really matter because God does it. The second seed reference, a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. And this seems to suggest that even really small things can grow into something big and useful and kind. And now is a perfect time for me to return to the story about my dad. And I suspect the story of a lot of dads and moms. Many of us have experienced parents who have given us something that has let us grow into the people that we are today, the people that we have become. And at some point, our loved ones planted a seed and then stepped out of the way so that we could take root. And this is the perfect illustration for our parable today. In fact, if I took the story I told you at the beginning of the sermon and turned it into a parable, it might sound something like this. God is an all-around handy God. God has a shop filled with tools to get all sorts of things done. God makes those tools available to me, his child. God does this to spend time with me, but also because God wants me to feel like I can accomplish something that seems impossible. Sometimes these things are dangerous, not just physically, but socially, going against the grain of the secular world with worldly values. Instead of, no, you can't do that because it's dangerous, God says, for the kingdom of God, you'll need these. Here's a grain of unconditional love. Here is some love for your enemies. Here's a seed of justice. Have some mercy. Have some generosity and thinking of others rather than just yourself. But be careful. Oh, and watch out for snakes. Parables are meant to make us think. They're meant to open a door and let us kind of walk around in them. They are meant to teach us something, much like dads do, and moms too. It's Father's Day, so I'm obviously giving a shout out to dads today. But, and my dad's here, so, you know, that's one reason too. And Dad, don't think that I've made this reference about you and God for any other reason than a sermon illustration. So let it go to your head. Our dads and moms and the people that raise us and the people that love us do have something in common with our Lord, though. They care about a relationship with us. Like our loved ones, our relationship with God teaches us to trust, teaches us to dream and to love big in this world. Seeds are planted and God takes care of the rest. Small things turn into big things that are useful and kind and provide goodness for even more of God's creation. God gives us the tiniest of opportunities and works God's miracle in us so that we may accomplish things that are so much bigger than we are in this beautiful, remarkable, ever-growing kingdom of God. Amen.